Okay. Baby steps. I watched After Sun yesterday. Hello there, and welcome to the recommendation game. My name is Orla McNeilis.
My name is Ricardo Deacon.
Low energy start. This is a bi-weekly film podcast where we take turns to recommend a film the other has not seen. We watch them and then we Skype Riverside, etc. to discuss them. This week's film was chosen by Ricardo. It is The Mitchells vs. The Machines from 2021.
Let it begin.
The last humans must be here somewhere. Wait.
They're coming.
Is that a burnt orange 1993 station wagon? Or is it...
Who are these unstoppable warriors?
We're the Mitchells, the only people who can save the world. I'm super sorry, everyone. Let me introduce myself. I'm Katie. I'm sort of a weirdo. My parents haven't figured me out yet. To be fair, it took me a while to figure myself out. My brother, also weird.
Hi, would you like to talk to me about dinosaurs? No. Okay, thank you.
And my mom.
Katie face cupcakes.
All of us, really.
How about we put our phones down and we can make 10 seconds of unobstructed family eye contact. Starting now.
Young Katie Mitchell embarks on a road trip with her proud parents, younger brother, younger brother and beloved dog to start her first year at film school. But their plans to bond as a family soon get interrupted when the world's electronic devices come to life to stage an uprising. How far-fetched. With help from two friendly robots, the Mitchells must now come together to save one another and the planet from the new technological revolution. I love how they have the budget on Google listed as 50 to 100 million.
That's quite a spread.
Somewhere in there. The film was directed by Mike Rianda, written by Mike Rianda and Jeff Rowe, produced by Phil Lord, Christopher Miller, and Kurt Albrecht, starring Danny McBride, Abby Jacobson, Maya Rudolph, Mike Rianda, Eric Andre, and Olivia Colman. Edited by Greg Levitan and music by Mark Mothersbaugh. This week's film was chosen by Ricardo.
It was indeed.
Ricardo, brave after the Kleist incident. Why did you pick this film?
Well, I thought it'd be, for one, like an interesting departure from the usual tone and type of movie that we support, rightfully champion in this podcast. But I think, like, looking back, even whenever we were just discussing what movie to pick, because I was thinking of picking perhaps another Studio Ghibli movie, when talking about it, we realized that none of us had picked, like, a mainstream animation movie before, that we've done a lot of animation, but not, like, Hollywood, DreamWorks, Pixar kind of Sony animation, whatever, because I think this is Sony animation since Phil Lord and the other chap is, it's a Sony Pictures Animations. Yeah, it's distributed by Netflix, but it's with Sony Pictures Animation. I was super annoyed as well because it's one of those new films that is like within Netflix, but you have to rent within Netflix. So you watch it on Netflix, but it's not in your full subscription, even though I paid the fucking 20 quid or whatever it is.
What?
To get the 4K. But
I didn't. That's interesting.
I suppose that it's like market to market. You Canadians might get whatever.
Use your VPN.
I don't have a VPN.
We've discussed this before.
But yeah, like I thought there'd be like an interesting kind of departure, but also interesting to talk about this movie perhaps in the context of the current environment for cinema, the current like cinema landscape. Because it's fairly rare to see a movie like this that is quite, you know, it's not it's
part
like an original story. It's not part
of
a chain. It's not. There's no like I don't have any doubts why this film flopped completely on the box office, because. Like, just even after watching the movie, it's like, with that title, but even with this plot, how do you sell it? without like because whenever you watch it, you like, at least for me, I really got the film, but it's really hard to narrow it down to 3 minutes why this movie is special, or even to come up with a title that is better than The Mitchells versus the Machines. Like, it is
a good title. Oof.
Yeah, like it sounds so generic. Like, it feels that, like, the title feels like a very bored decision, like a decision made by accountants rather than the filmmakers themselves. But at the same time, it feels original enough in trying to be clever, I suppose, calling it like that. I don't know where the title came from, but it doesn't do the film justice, I don't think. It's weird because I also like remember I don't remember in what context I watched this film for the first time, because even in my normal life, forget the podcast, it's not the kind of movie that I necessarily diverge to, let's say, especially even in whenever I'm looking for something that is like quote unquote low energy, just enjoyable to watch. I'm more likely to stick a episode Columbo or something on then watch a children's cartoon, because I did like what I was thinking about it with this movie is that a lot of animation is punching down for kids, so it's like the movie's made from the position of the parents, let's say, and then the movie gets dumbed down for the kids. Well, this movie is the opposite. It's kind of like dumbed up for the parents, because it's very like youthful. Like, I don't think I've seen any other movie, especially in animation, that actually captures the feeling of being a teenager as well as this for a long time. Like, it really made me feel like, obviously being people like both me and you with a background of going to film school and stuff like that, and coming from a background that perhaps you're peers didn't have an interest in it, so whenever you go to college you feel like, oh, I'm finding my people kind of thing. I was able to really relate to that part, even though perhaps, like, you know, like, I don't have a dad, so I can't complain about a dad that doesn't know how to care for me, even though he loves me. So it's like an alien feeling, the part of like the nuclear family for me, but it felt like very lived in. You know, it's the kind of movie that every character is very much, you can understand how they operate as a family, and it's not just that they were written to be a roadblock or something like that in the film. You can understand why the wife and the husband are together. You can tell like they have a really loving relationship, you know. People talk about Up and stuff like that, and like, this movie made me like nearly cry immediately, nearly whenever they're talking about like the he starts watching the video of whenever they lived in the house in the woods, and they have to abandon it because they have the kid, and like, it's so heartbreaking. And then when like the dad is like, oh, this is the easiest thing that I've ever done, looking at his daughter, like, it made me choke up. But like, I think that this is a movie that has
baby steps. I watched After Sun yesterday. Whoo,
nah. And I think that like this movie does have like a real heart behind it, like, and it has a very clever screenwriting as well, that even when it gets to the part of like the action scene at the end is based on characters. It doesn't end up in that kind of destroyed mush of like Marvel cinema and stuff like that. You just suddenly like, okay, now the plot is over and the character is over because we need to watch explosions. They're even having like the callback to the song that they sing together whenever they were kids and stuff like that, whenever like they're bonding together. The screenplay is very smart, I felt. And like I said, I think especially with the use of like memes and like the way her movies, the sense of humor is very much like internet age, like Zoomer or like millennial comedy. I'm surprised that there are so few films that have embraced that level of humor, because especially when it comes to memes and like internet, like, you know, like YouTube kind of funny short clips, it is already a visual medium that you're able to almost plop into a film, you know. Like, I'm not saying that every movie needs to do that, but like there's very like I would expect there to be more films like the Zone of Interest, where the mimification of the Zone of Interest. But I thought like that in particular, it made the film feel like really youthful. And I think that it also has one of the, like a lot like moment for moment one of the best editing jobs that I've seen in any movie. The amount of really funny jokes that are based on the edit, like the timing of the edit, that like even in the beginning whenever they're just renting donkeys going to a canyon, and then it's like, oh, it's gonna be safe, and then it just cuts to them in a storm. It's like, get to the bridge or we're all dying. And then it just cuts to like a little drawing that, like, there's a donkey in the river drowning, and then there's like a little drawing saying like, oh yeah, the donkey got rescued and everything is okay. But even at that, like, it has a lot of energy and humor. I think that I do think that the film is way too long for what it is, like,
definitely,
but it is kind of charming in its way being that long, because it's so shaggy, like that's why I was saying that it's like the moment by moment editing is brilliant, but like the pacing is kind of like all over the place, but at the same time it's kind of enjoyable because you never know what the fuck is gonna happen. Because, you know, like, it's an hour in, there's like an hour left, and they get to the base where the AI is, and it's like, there's another hour of this. There's enough in there, especially humor. That's why it's able to a certain degree get away with it, because even when it becomes a lot more plot orientated and action orientated, it still remains with the characters at its core. That even like the jokes are character based rather than just a funny joke like the people thought about. And I think that's what gives this movie level depth that it doesn't require to a certain degree. It's like it goes like way harder than it needs to go to make it enjoyable. But yeah, like, I thought that it'd be like also for once refreshing to talk about a movie that is not depressing as fuck or bleak or...
Oh no, I'm starting to rethink my pick for next week now.
No, like, it doesn't need it to always be like this, but, you know, at the same time, it's nice to have a little, you know, it's like a pinch of salt. You need a little vinegar and sugar as well to balance it out, you know, like, you can't just have one flavor. You need to balance it out. But without further ado, what did you think of The Mitchells versus The Machines?
I like how often you use the like analogy of like, it's like a recipe. A movie is like a recipe. Our life is like a recipe. Salt. yeah. I admire that you went for this, because I appreciate that, you know, it's a lot of dark shit going on in the world right now. You know, we do a lot of depressing movies. I understand. Oh gosh, Ricardo, I hated this.
Lol.
Oh. And like, I didn't go in with any like, meh, you know, like Netflix animation. Meh, meh, meh. I didn't even think of Klaus. I didn't think of anything. I was just okay.
Klaus was the one mainstream animation. Well, considering nobody watched it and you hated it, I suppose that's why I forgot that you picked it.
Well, I mean, like, I suppose it probably shares like a little bit of DNA with this as well. But like, oh God. I think the fact that I like really did not gel with this from like the opening meant that the fact that it's so long made me hate it by the time we got to like the last hour. I was just like, how is this still going? And I was trying to like pay attention, because I was like, you need to at least watch the damn thing. And I found it very difficult, because really, I kept thinking the whole way through this, like, so this is the same guys that did the Lego movie. And I love the Lego movie. And I think, like, the Lego movie, which is kind of funny that people never really compared it to Barbie, because in some ways, because it's, like, taking a kind of existing, like, IP or whatever in the world. People were kind of, like, skeptical of a Lego movie. of like, you know, what could this possibly be? And then the Lego Movie is great. Like, I remember watching it as well with like my parents, like my uncle, their kids. I think both my sisters were there. We watched it like a big group of people, cross generations, whatever. In my nana's house, I think my nana might have watched it as well. And everyone fucking had a great time. And I was trying to work out like, what is it that I love so much about the Lego Movie that I hated about this? And I think, like, I was writing my notes, like, I think it's a whole combination of factors, but the thing that really bothers me is, like, how generic, like, the animation felt, the music felt, the theme of it felt. Like, there's something still that feels very, like, fresh and funny and charming about the Lego Movie that makes it feel, like, it's not a perfect movie and, like, I don't think the Lego Movie is timeless, but it feels more timeless than this does. and it also does the kind of thing of like appealing to like kids and adults and everything. The animation bugged me. It annoyed me, and I was trying to work out why. And then I was reading a review on, I think, Letterboxd, where someone compared it to a Grubhub ad. And I was like, that's it. And it's a kind of a like, it's not quite to that level, but it has elements of that kind of like smooth corporate style of art that I just don't like at all. There's actually a really great YouTuber called Solar Sands that did a whole video on that exact style and how it became kind of like prolific everywhere. So like, you know, the kind of Google style, and you know, it's like a very kind of like flat, round, in, you know, limbs are not in proportion, all that kind of stuff. It's sort of safe, squishy 3D animation, as it's called. Yeah, the kind of theme of like technology's bad and Silicon Valley and we're losing touch with real life, and like, it's like, sure, like that's an interesting topic, and I think especially when it comes to things like artificial intelligence and, you know, how we're probably pretty fucked in that regard. Like, I think that's interesting, and I think like how that relates to kids as well is interesting, because like if you look at the generation, like the kids that are in this movie, the kids that are going to be watching this movie, they've only exclusively grown up with a level of like artificial intelligence and, you know, encased in little fucking screens that like we had no fucking idea of as kids. So it is interesting to like deal with that theme in a kids movie, but they just do it so, and I'm really like, it's, they don't do it in an interesting way. And like,
I thought they did, like, if I can just interject there quick, sure. Like, I won't go on a rant, but I thought it was interesting because it shows the three levels, let's say. That you have the level of the person that has, like, absolutely no technological connection in the form of the father. And yeah. Then the person that grew up with technology but also doesn't really understand where it goes in the form of the, like, mark, whatever that it's meant to be, Zuckerberg, obviously, or, like, an amalgamation of all these tech people that they don't understand what they're creating because they're too closed in their own geniuses, let's say. But then having also in the way of the daughter and her brother, mm-hmm. that it's also how it is a real thing of connection and being able to meet other people before going to college, for example, that she already has all her friends from online and stuff like that. That I think that, especially for a family film, that it's in a way arguing for balance kind of thing, but also in a smart way of like, you don't need to do the meet the balance in your own life. You just have to understand why the father likes the way that he lives without technology and why the daughter would like to live in a world within the technology. Is the bit of like, not necessarily to do or even meet them halfway, it's just the level of understanding that I think is what the movie tries, not only when it comes to technology but other emotions or tastes or like career choices and stuff, that like the idea is not that you have to that you don't have to meet fully anybody halfway. Yeah. It's just as long as you give them the benefit of the doubt or try to understand where they're coming from, it's much easier to speak to them about it because you're not always judging them against your values or your frame of reference. And I thought that it was like a clever way of doing it, but I do get your point in a sense that it's like it's not an original topic per se, but I thought
no,
that it was
not
done
in
a
2021 as well. That's the thing. It's like if this movie had come out 10 years earlier, I'd be like, okay, but it's like it's 2020, like 2021, 2022 by the time this movie comes out. Like, we were already like well into the fucking pandemic at this point, understanding the impact that like technology has on things. And like at this point, like kids are learning from home at school, you know what I mean? Like all this kind of stuff. Like, and I know I'm not saying that like this kids movie has to delve into that, but I think like part of the reason why even the idea of like, you know, that everything, everyone being the extremes of everything and then them having to like come together as a family, blah, blah, blah. Like, that didn't gel with me at all, I think, because I didn't like any of the characters.
I can't disagree with you that if you don't gel with the characters, this movie would be insufferable. Like, I gelled with them, but like, I find it hilarious that I gelled with the like 17-year-old girl. Like, I could relate to her. And you,
yeah, let's talk about let's talk about our 17-year-old girl. She's not 17. She like that was something that kind of bothered me about it, because it was like, she seems like a 15-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, even everyone she's interacting with seems like a 15-year-old. And, like, that's not an issue in a movie that's, like, obviously, like, going towards a younger audience. Like, fine. But, like, don't make her... I know you need to have the thing of her going off to college. She does not seem like a 17-year-old teenager. She didn't seem like a real teenager to me. Like, there's literally a line in the movie where she's like, you know, I'm Katie. I'm sort of a weirdo. I was like, ah! And, like... And she's making these, like, you know, little videos. And it kept making me think of, like, Me and Erlen the Dying Girl or Be Kind Rewind. Like, movies that have these sort of, like, little, like, cute, like, parody movies within the movie of, like, them creating these, like, little intricate, you know, mostly out of just, like, you know, very shitty camera, low quality, but like the craft and the creativity is really like palpable and interesting in those movies. Whereas like in this, it was just like, here's my dog. And I was like, okay.
Well, but part, like, of it, I think that is the to a certain degree is the bit that I think that it is charming to a certain degree, because it's somebody that is just doing stuff without knowing what they're doing. If you watch all the movies that I made whenever I was 16, 17, like, they weren't the, like, comedies the way that she's doing, but it was the same kind of concept that you're just engaged with one idea and you try to perfect it over and over again, that she has, like, the dog cop or whatever, but they were, like, you see every person, not every person, but there's so many people that I know whenever we were, like, 16 trying to make movies, and we went to, like, the Fresh Film Festival that was, like, for teenage filmmakers, and it was hilarious because they'll be like, oh, this is Silence of the Sheep Part 7 or something like that. That is like, why did you submit the Part 7 of your movie? But you saw, like, they probably made like Part 1 whenever they were 12 years old, and they're just like doing serial killer movies.
I don't, like, okay, I think part of it is like it's the animation style, but it's also like it's the inclusion of the memes that, like, I think there's a reason why there aren't more movies that do this, and I'm glad, because, like,
okay, boomer.
No, like, you can do this. You can do this in an interesting way, and I think the way you do that is if you watch YouTubers. Like, YouTubers are able to incorporate stuff like that in a way that these filmmakers could have never dreamed of. Like, people who are operating on a, like, you know, $200 fucking Patreon budget have, like, and it's the fact that, like, every reference is from 2012 or earlier. They're not doing anything interesting with it, like cat filters and, like, oh, there's something that really grates me as well about, like, at one point someone says something about an album and their kids are like, what's an album? I'm like, first of all, that doesn't make any sense. Albums are not obsolete. And then, oh, it's a Furby, evil Furby. I'm just like, oh my God. And like, and saying that, the meme thing really bothered me. And I will say about the character, like, I like that she's very clearly queer-coded. I like that. They could have made that probably more explicit, but I liked that. That was nice. There were like elements of her, like her character, that I didn't hate, and you know, you're kind of rooting for her because she is this like little weirdo oddball who's going to film school, which is like custom made for me to like. But Yeah, it's just the, everything, the way they handled it, I was just like, nope. Moving on. The mum. The mum is not a real person. She brings like sort of Marge Simpson layers of like, why are you with this man? And there are moments where they're like, look at the cute home video of when he built his cabin and they were young and nice together. And I'm like, yeah, that's cute. I like it. Everything else about their relationship, I'm just like, I don't. It's like she's bringing that Marge Simpson thing, but without any of the nuance of Marge. You know what I mean?
Well,
of
like early season Simpsons, I suppose. No. Not
well,
nowadays.
No, but they. Well, yeah. But in like you know essentially nothing about her. She's just kind of there, and they keep hammering home this thing of like, we're a bad family, we're a bad family, we don't get on. It's like, oh, we're not like other families. Here's the comparison with this perfect family that we're going to keep using over and over and over again. It's like, oh, are they called the Joneses? Hammer on the head, hammer on the head. And then at the end they're like, oh, she's a mom and a grade school teacher. You know who are superheroes? Moms and grade school teachers. I was like, okay, so she's a ninja now, cool, okay. I guess that's a character thing. The dad is awful. He's awful, not like even in an interesting way. Like, I feel like they kind of muddy him a little bit. Like the idea of him being kind of like outdoorsy, but then also kind of like he's sort of this like toxic masculine character of, but they don't really, everything is like constantly played for laughs. So they don't really delve into it. And then like, a lot of the movie is like her having to understand his perspective as much as he has to understand her perspective. And I'm like, fuck off. She's 17. You were a grown man. You were a grown man, baby. And like, I'm sorry. I don't mind if they have like, if the sort of like their relationship is kind of the core relationship that needs to be like developed and solved. And that's like, I like that. That's nice. All for dads and daughters. But God, like... By the end of the movie, like, it didn't take long before I was like, I hope he dies. Like, I hope the dad dies.
Maybe it's because I don't have a dad that is like, oh yeah, it's somebody that is there. No, that's good enough.
No, but the thing is, like, you're not in the minority in this, like, as in of people who like this movie. Like, it's got a fairly high, like, Metacritic, Rotten Tomatoes, like, all the Guardian.
Yeah, both
liked
the audience score as well and Rotten Tomatoes is like 89% or something like that. So it's not just like a critic darling that sometimes they get like 97-98%.
I had a struggle to find people who didn't like this. And like, and people who weren't just like, meh. But like, I really struggled. I was like, I don't understand. Nothing about it felt interesting or fresh to me. The one thing I will say, I quite like the sibling relationship. That was like the most real thing to me, like of how they react, like interact with each other. And I kind of wanted more of that. I kind of like the little kid that he has a weird like adult voice for some reason. I kind of enjoyed that. I thought he was cute. I like the sort of like the dinosaur obsession and the like, you know, the idea that like, you know, maybe he might be like on the spectrum or something is kind of like there in the background. It's like, I like that. I like their interactions. It's like the little neighbor's kind of cute, you know, like that's all, that's fine. He was cool. I like
that. He really
sounds
like John Mulaney. Like, huh? He's not John Mulaney, but he really sounds like John Mulaney.
A grown, he's a large child. It's to say, yeah, so like him interacting with the dog was fine, even though they just keep using the dog over and over again. I'm like, poor dog, leave the dog alone, leave the dog at home, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it felt confusing to me because they made the Lego movie. So, and I,
well,
I was
like, it's not directed by the, it's produced by them. It's similarly to, it's only directed by Mike Rianda. Like, I don't know what other credits he has. But like, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller also produced Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Which is a much better movie. That's actually a really good comparison. Because I watched, what's the first one? What's the first Spider-Verse movie?
Across the Spider-Verse, I think.
Yeah, I watched
Into
that
the
recently.
Spider-Verse, sorry. Across
yeah, into
the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, there's going to be three of them. That, oh my God, the animation still, the music, the use of music in that movie, the like, oh my God, the production design, just everything about, like how it, like, the kid in that movie feels like a real person. He feels like a kid, like, it's so tactile and like it feel. Oh God! I literally watched it the same week I watched this and was just like, "It's not. I know. It's not fair." To, but like,
it's because you just love franchise filmmaking, Orla.
Yeah, I know.
If it's not a franchise, you don't like it.
How else am I gonna know it's gonna be good? You know, how can I trust a new story?
You can't wait for the sequel to After Sun, After Moon.
Oh God. Oh no, Paul, this sadness. Oh my God. I think somewhere between watching All of Us Strangers and fucking After Sun, I really moved on from being attracted to Paul Mescal to just really needing to like give him a really big hug and make him tea for like the rest of his life.
Get him to wear pants, trousers. Stop with those GAA shorts.
No. What was hilarious about this movie is that because I'm so used to seeing him wearing the fucking O'Neill shorts everywhere all the time. Own it, Paul. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Is that when he's wearing the like, you know, 90s style shorts in After Sun, they seem like inappropriately long. I'm just like, which is good because he looks, the clothing in that movie is so spot on. It's like ludicrous. But, but yeah, anyways, poor Paul. Paul, we're sending you hugs across the Spider-Verse. Fucking Furbies. They also reference Shaun of the Dead at one point. They use a Sigur Rós song at the end. I was just like, how dare you? And then the number one sin I can possibly think of is bringing poor Olivia Colman into this. I was like, it's not okay. The whole thing with the dino stop was fun. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that is a proper kind of American roadside attraction. It's just a shithole outside of Detroit or something.
It does, like, it's well edited in a way that like it is using the editing for jokes a lot of the time. So it's like dino stop cut to shithole. Like it's great. There's stuff like that I enjoyed. I did laugh a number of times, but I also wanted to die. I'm sorry.
I thought that you might not be crazy about this movie. Like, I do think that it is like a solid picture. You know what I mean? It's not, I wouldn't come close to saying that it is like even really good. I just thought that it'd be like interesting in the sense of a nice within time. The oeuvre that we, our oeuvre of episodes, there'd be an interesting kind of blind spot that we have for episodes. And also, it's like a dead giveaway to pick like a Pixar movie or something that is more worldly regarded. I thought that it was like not necessarily a forgotten gem, but like a worthwhile picture, let's say, to watch, like enjoyable in what it's doing. And particularly, I thought that you, like, I literally thought that you would have related a lot more with the character. Maybe I'm a little bit more nostalgic, maybe I'm a little bit less cynical.
But even. Don't get personal now because you picked a bad movie.
But even whenever, like, what you're saying about like the parents and stuff like that, I personally know, like, from within my own family, like relationships were like that, and some of them didn't work, not because of that kind of personality traits. It was just more about trust. You know what I mean? The balance worked. I do agree. Like, the bit is like moms are superheroes is a bit like over the top, like whenever, but at the same time, like the dad and the daughter are also like surfing on top of robots firing guns nonstop. So it's not just her, let's say. But I do get that kind of stereotype that is similar to sometimes with like, it's kind of demeaning to like, oh yeah, they're special, but let's not change anything to, like, they're superheroes because they're poor, basically, and they're doing the job for free because it's of passion. It's like, why don't you just fucking pay them? Like,
or moms, they're great.
Yeah, like the point that you made about her being like the superhero and stuff like that is very valid. But there's something that I can't remember who said it, that it's not necessarily about, like, I think it kind of reducing, like, kind of old-fashioned the way that they phrased it, but at the same time they clarify that it is not necessarily that the man that this could be related to both same-sex relationships or hetero relationships, and it's unnecessary to say that the female, in this case, like the female perspective is the woman and the male perspective is the man, but like you try to like somewhat like pigeonhole the idea, but the idea that it's like the female part is like emotional and the male part is kind of trying to fix something. So sometimes whenever people are having a discussion, somebody just wants to vent and the other one person wants to fix it. You know what I mean? That it's, I think obviously this is to a larger degree that idea, but I think it's prevalent. Not to say that is a natural occurrence, but it is the way the society has built it, that if you have like a male frame of mind, quote unquote, like you, like I'm not saying that that you're male, it's like if you had that male frame of mind, that society, that anything happens you have to go and fix it. So it's like,
yeah,
well, like in the female side of mind, because you're able to deal and you're trying to process rather than fix, like society wise because sometimes I don't know why, like it's a way that you the female, like again, I'm, it's very archaic to say it that way, but it's the way that it's been phrased, the why sometimes you might go home and have an argument, and also like this can flip between one moment to the next, but you can have a, oh yeah, this happened to me in work, and then the other person goes, why don't you do this, whenever you should just be sitting there like, oh yeah, that's terrible, what happened then, that your position just listen, is just to listen, not to fix. And I think that there are some people like the character Rick Mitchell that is completely in that frame of mind that everything can be fixed, and if it's not working, it's just something that is like somebody's not trying hard enough to fix. And if you keep at it, let's say, and you like, you can really develop a certain like build walls between you and the other person. And I think that it does a certain good job of understanding that, like, even though the person is coming from a good side, it's also like because of society and stuff like that. Yeah, he's a giant man baby, but I suppose it's like he didn't come out of nowhere. So as long as his intentions are good, you can try to meet him halfway. I know that it's like he's the dad, he's supposed to be doing the heavy lifting, but to a certain degree,
any lifting really. Yeah, it's just like where she has to be like, you broke her laptop. And he's like, oh, you're just like, you have a mortgage with this human? Like,
I don't know. What, did they mention what is his career? Because I was thinking, like, who has a job nowadays that you don't even operate a single piece of technology?
Because like that felt dumb as well. Like, didn't know how to type. Like, it's... Like, that felt outdated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this man must be, like, what, 40? 40s, maybe, at the oldest? And is, like, can't type? And it's like, you know, this is made by people who are in their 40s. It's not even, it's just, ugh. I know it's like a, you know, it's an animation. You can be, like, you, like, heighten everything and, like, sure, but...
Well, like, with the, I do think that even, like, whenever we're talking about technology and stuff like that, okay, like, it's not a fresh idea, but the idea of, like, everything being chipped, that is, you know, like, if I can get smart fridges, smart...
Mm.
Everything is connected to the internet. There's, like, even the Furbies are connected to the internet. But also, like, I think that the Furbies being there is a good kind of, like, callback to the idea that everything has to be from the 80s now again. That is like, but you just make it slightly worse. But yeah, like I did think, like, I suppose that like you said, that if you didn't connect to the movie, it's very hard for me to go like, oh okay, because it's not, you know, like a nosy movie that I can go like, yeah, but like think about the meaning of life and how he embraces the passage of time and the connections between people. Like, this is it is quite simplistic, and it is a children's film at heart, but I do enjoy that it is a children's film that is trying to make, like, the jokes that are for, there's no wink wink nudge nudge kind of like innuendos or whatever. Like, the I hate that about some children's movies that are that the idea of you know, entertaining the parents whenever you're watching a children's movie is okay, let's make references to, like, I don't know, fucking Matlock or something, like the dad will get,
yeah,
or like Saving,
like,
Private Ryan or something, know, that the kid will never
sexual
get.
Sexual assault in prison, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah, like something cheerful like that. I do like that this movie kind of really embraced. I don't know, like.
We've got a Matlock and a Columbo reference. Any closing thoughts then on our.
Well, I'm disappointed that you didn't enjoy, obviously, like, it's not necessarily like swing for the fences, because there are movies, you know, even though disappointed that you didn't like it, it's kind of like, it doesn't hurt deeply, you know, like,
no.
There are movies that we pick that is like little sacred cow for us, and then like the other person just takes the cow out behind the barn and shoots it in the head, and it really hurts when
you
can
see his heart
you lose
crushing
it, yeah,
in real time.
Sometimes it'd be like, either if it happened, like, I'm certain that it happens to you the same it happens to me sometimes, that you pick a movie that is really special to you, and I don't even need to hate it. I just don't need to love it. And whenever I start talking about it, I see the, like, sadness in your eyes, that you're like, how come he doesn't like, it's such a good movie. Like, you feel like almost that you brought your kid to school and he gets an F, and you're like, blame the teacher, maybe the weather was bad, maybe the atmospheric pressure was too high, so you couldn't really get into the movie or whatever.
The humidity was low, too much static.
But in this case, I just thought that it'd be like an enjoyable movie, but also like kind of in, like, different in the sense of like the road we've been traveling on quite recently. Mm-hmm. But it's the funny thing though, that it's probably like, in the efforts to cheer you up with a movie, I made you more depressed because you didn't like this movie.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts yourself?
I was disappointed I didn't like it. And then the longer it went on, the longer I was just like, why? Like, why did you pick this? Why do you like this? I don't understand. But at the same, and one thing I will say about this movie is that I'll keep that for my favorite thing, because it's, I don't have many of them, so. But yeah, I appreciate what you were trying to do.
I think that the movie, that, like, and just so you come quickly, just to defend the animation, I think that the animation in itself, like, I do like, maybe the art design you don't like, because the animation is good, I think. Like the skill of the actual, like, when we talk about animation, the actual animation,
right,
of the characters, the art design, I think would call it generic but inoffensive kind of thing. It's more like it's that kind of, I do get it. What, like, this is kind of early on, and but the last 3 years, like, there's been a movie. I think Spider-Verse was the first one to do it. This kind of like, we're ashamed that we're 3D animation, so we're gonna pretend and try to make it look like it's 2D.
Yeah.
And then, like, Klaus did the same, but, you know, some are more effective than others. I suppose that the Spider-Man ones are easier to get away with because they have such a comic book aesthetic, so there's something to grab onto that these movies don't per se. But it's like, I watched American Fiction yesterday, and it's so like undirected in a way, like in the sense of, like, you know, like how it's shot.
Oh,
like,
that's
it's
great.
That there's no, like, it doesn't call attention to you how it's filmed one way or another.
Yeah,
like, it's almost that the way that it's like, that everything is like in the performance and then the dialogue or whatever, it felt the same in this movie to a certain degree, which in a way it's kind of disappointing whenever it comes to an animation. I think that, like, the designs, like, even you said, like, with the robots and stuff like that, you could have pulled it out from any video game from the 2000s or whatever, you know. It's not like there's not a high level of originality when it comes to the production design. Even the idea, like, how, like, the technology is built, how the PAL, like, is portrayed in the phone and etc. So
what was your favorite thing?
Like, my favorite thing is that, at least for me, it made me, like, I had emotions watching this, even on rewatching it, and I think it captured the bit, perhaps not like 100% accurately, but it captured that feeling whenever you don't know, that kind of awkward transition whenever you're between, that you know who you are, but you haven't given, like the, you have like a period whenever you're like early teens and stuff like that, that you don't know who you are, so you're just awkward around everybody, especially whenever you're like nerdy, awkward person. And then you find out who you are, but then you have nobody to validate you as a person because nobody has the same interests as you. And because, like, both in America to a certain degree higher than in Ireland, but we still have kind of like, especially when we're teenagers, we want to be seen. That people like validate what your interests are, because if you're putting so much towards that, you want to feel like, okay, other people get it. Even like if it's a hobby, like not per se your career, even if you're like into video games, that's why people, it's nice whenever you make friends that are into video games or you're into movies or the same music and stuff like that, because you're able to bond whenever you're forming that experience. And especially when it comes to film or art or books and stuff like that, because they're not widely regarded, but especially if you go below a certain surface level, because, you know, like it was easy for me to organize to go to the cinema to watch like a superhero movie, but like I couldn't like drag people to go and watch like an Akira Kurosaki movie whenever I was in school. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, or like anything with subtitles, never mind if it's like mainstream Korean cinema, but it's just because, oh, it's not English, but, and having that moment. And then like also like it felt kind of, the bit that I liked as well is that the movie does say that it's like, even though you, that is a world or whatever, don't, you're not above the people from your past either.
Yeah.
Like you're not the idea that just because you have different interests, you should, like, because there is a temptation whenever you're younger, and I had that it's like I'd be like on the bus reading a book, and there'd be people like just talking about like just sports, and that's all they would talk about, and I'd be like sitting there going like,
yeah,
savages,
yeah. And then, not highbrow,
and
like
then
me.
You realize that it's like, okay, just because they don't have the same interests as you doesn't mean that they're lesser, kind of thing. You become like a bit of a snob, and I think that this movie does a good job of going like, yes, embrace your interest, embrace your new, like the connections you make through your new interests, but also remember that you're not above anybody else. It's just that you're different to them, and you should be able to like, don't lose the people that you had before because you have new interests, kind of thing. And I think perhaps is a downfall in this movie that she doesn't have like maybe one friend or somebody that like has, they, just because you're like a next door neighbor or something, or from that you sat next to each other in school, that you end up having like a strong bond with, but you might not have the same worldview, let's say, but you still become friends. And during this period of your life, it's when you actually have to make an effort to remain being friends, because you're both finding out who you are. You might be different. I think that that's something that is missing in this movie, but it made me think about these things, and I appreciated that about the picture. What was your favorite thing?
I think it's like that this is clearly being made with a lot of sincerity. Like, that was one thing. Like, there was never any part of the movie where it just felt like, oh, they're just making another Minions movie or whatever. Like, it felt like there was a lot of care put into it. And, you know,
You wouldn't make something as little, as uncommercial as this.
Yes. And, you know, I'm a fan of that. This one just did not land for me. Like, you know, I would not recommend it to anybody in my life to watch, but at the same time, I'm like, I am glad that films like this exist, like, as you said off the top, that like, that it is an original idea and that they kind of went for it, like balls to the wall, like just throw everything at the screen and see what works. So I appreciate that, because like, you know, we talk about this a lot, but it is really rare, especially when it comes to like kids movies or like family movies or like, you know, movies that are kind of like for a sort of a broader audience. They just don't exist, and it's really depressing. So I commend them for that. I just wish it had been executed in a way that was more to my tastes.
I suppose that I just checked on Wikipedia. The original title of this movie is even worse than The Mitchells versus the Machines. It was called Connected.
Oh, lads. Go back to the whiteboard. Jesus.
But also looking at the... production history, it kind of explains also a couple of things about the references that the movie came out in 2021, but it was released by Netflix, but it wasn't meant to be released by Netflix. It was meant to come out in 2020, early 2020, but because of COVID, it didn't get released. So somewhat about like what you were saying, like post-COVID and stuff like that, it was like pre-COVID that the movie came out, but also the fact that the script was written in 2015. So it's like the problem with animation to a certain degree, I suppose, because it takes way much longer than just a regular film to make. So like even the jokes, if you're like it ages much quicker, because obviously if you started the even to so a lot of the references are probably like 2015 level, like even what you were saying about the. The filters and stuff like that, that'll be like very 2015, but also like even 2015 when it comes to smartphones, because it was like whenever smartphones became wildly that everybody had them, like my first smartphone was 2014, because if you like it's when cheap smartphones started being available to the public, because you know like even when we're in college, whatever, like loads of people, like I don't know, outside of the wealthy people in our class, nobody had smartphones. Everybody, like, we were texting and had Facebook groups and stuff like that to organize night out.
But it was all desktop.
It wasn't like a WhatsApp group or whatever,
What was your least favorite thing?
I think the length of the movie, like, there's
we didn't even get to that.
It should be like, you know, you watch a charismatic movie and it destroys you, and it's like you look at the time, it's like 72 minutes. It's like the charismatic can do that in 72 minutes. Like, you put like 10 fucking tango music scenes and stuff like that, and it's like,
there'll be an interlude of like just people dancing.
Yeah, like, so it's not like nobody needs 2 hours to make a movie that is like as thin thematically as this movie is, because I like the themes and everything else is the kind of thing that it, like, you know, like as you said, if you don't engage with the movie, it's like its length becomes an even bigger problem. But also I think that, you know, a movie doesn't have to have a lot of depth, but if you're gonna take 2 hours of my life, you better have depth. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like if your movie that is like aiming for entertainment, 90 minutes. If you're aiming to like talk about the human condition, you can do there's the series of Japanese movies that I want to watch that watch and impose on Alex, I suppose, is a trilogy of Japanese movies from the 40s called The Human Condition. Each one is 4 hours long and it's about the suffering of a Japanese soldier during World War II. And but like that is, you know, if you're gonna make a 4 hour, like a 12 hours long series, that's topic to like, okay, that's big enough. You need that time, I'll give it to you. But like, talk about like iPhones and families are difficult, 90 minutes, there you go. What was your least favorite thing?
Probably that I didn't gel with the characters, because that would have covered so many other cracks if I'd liked anyone or felt that the main character was really believable, and you know, like that, I think that has to be the kind of the fundamental thing. Like, it all just felt really underbaked and just throw everything at the wall, and it's like, you know, you need to have some nuance to them, otherwise I'm not going to care about them when they're in a big robot fight, you know. I also kind of just didn't really care about the world. I didn't care if the world was saved, you know, because like nobody was really that interesting. So but that's probably it is
something that like that you mentioned now, that is probably part of it as well, is that like it feels strangely empty as a world kind of thing, that is especially for like a post-apocalyptic kind of drama, whatever, that is like, you don't feel like the sense of distances or whatever. Even like the idea that it's like they're traveling to LA and it's like, what is the road trip? Like, how long is that? Like,
That was the Mitchells versus the Machines. And if you want to go back and listen to me shit on Klaus, also in person, because it was our Christmas episode and I came home in 2019, I think, pre-pandemic. You weren't that long in your house, were you?
No, it's 6 months thereabouts.
Yeah.
No, it was post-pandemic. Because I moved we saw the house during the lockdown. Well, like we didn't see we did all the viewings and stuff over Skype.
Yeah.
So like it's definitely not pre-pandemic, but it was like 6 months into us being in the house. But
Anywho, if they want to go back and hear me shitting on Klaus Ricardo, where can they find us?
Well, they can find you also find me shitting on the Where We Go on your podcaster of choice, on Spotify, on the Dublin Digital Radio Mixcloud, on Dublin Digital Radio every second Monday. You can find us on our Facebook page, The Recommendation Game, at The Rec Game on X. And The Recommendation Game at gmail.com is our email address.
Yay! Next week's movie.
Next week's film is chosen by Orla.
I was going to pick a really tough, depressing movie, and now I kind of want to pick The Holdovers because I really like that movie and I would like to watch it again. So I'm gonna pick The Holdovers.
Okay, perfect.
Maybe we'll have a surprise victory tonight.
I'm glad that I'm watching that movie just before summer begins, because it seems to be a cozy movie.
It is, you know, a cozy movie. I got
like some beef shit and the ragu going, and like a polenta and.
Nice red wine. Yeah. Oh, no, that is the vibe. Go for it. Yeah, go in there with Malbec a good feeling in your
something,
heart.
You know, like something like a Cab Sav, something that is like syrupy. You know, like
syrupy. What Cab Savs are you drinking? Anyways, until then, I was Orla McDealis.
And I was Ricardo Deacon.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week or the week after or whenever.